The Holy Gospel for the second Sunday of Advent is from Luke's Gospel, a portion of the first chapter. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the division of priests named after Abijah. Zechariah's wife Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth had God's approval. They followed all the Lord's commands and regulations perfectly. Yet, they never had any children because Elizabeth couldn't become pregnant. Both of them were too old to have children. Zechariah was on duty with the division of priests. As he served in God's presence, he was chosen by priestly custom to go into the Lord's temple to burn incense. All the people were praying outside while he was burning incense. Then, to the right of the incense altar, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Zechariah was troubled and overcome with fear. The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you will name him John. He will be your pride and joy. Many people will be glad that he was born. As far as the Lord is concerned, he will be a great man. He will never drink wine or any other liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring many people in Israel back to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord with the spirit of power that Elijah had. He will change parents' attitudes towards their children. He will change disobedient people so that they will accept the wisdom of those who have God's approval. In this way, he will prepare the people for their Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "What proof is there for this? I am an old man, and my wife is beyond her childbearing years." The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. God sent me to tell you this good news. But because you didn't believe what I said, you will be unable to talk until the day this happens. Everything will come true at the right time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah. They were amazed that he was staying in the temple so long. When he did come out, he was unable to speak to them. So they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. He motioned to them, but remained unable to talk. When the days of his service were over, he went home. Later, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and didn't go out in public for 5 months. She said, "The Lord has done this for me. He has removed my public disgrace." 6 months after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee. The end of the reading of the gospel.
If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to open them up to Luke, the first chapter. We're going to be looking at some of the verses that you just heard in the gospel reading, but we're going to be looking at a couple other ones as well. You might want to grab the Pew Bible as well in Luke, that first chapter. Have you ever been so busy doing something that you missed something important? You know, maybe it was a line in the theater, or that moment in a movie, or a particular play in a sporting event. You know, you've all been there. You're paying attention, and just when you lean over to talk to somebody, something important happens. You miss the big moment. Maybe if it wasn't in one of those, maybe you have experienced that moment when you're lying on your back out in the desert waiting for the meteor shower or trying to spot satellites, and you're sitting there thinking how wonderful it is, and then your mind starts to drift at how cold it is or how bored you are or how hungry you are. So you lean over to your friend to make say something funny, and somebody goes, "Oh, did you see it? Dang it. Missed it again." You know, there's truth to that old saying, silence is golden. Every time we go into the movie theater, we see it over and over again, don't we? Silence is golden. No texting. Turn your phones off. I hope you're doing that now as well. You see, silence actually helps you experience what is going on outside of you and what's going on around you. Silence is indeed golden. There's a character in our Advent story that knows what it is to be silent. You heard the account, the first chapter of Luke, we encounter a man named Zechariah. Scripture says that he followed the Lord's commands and regulations perfectly. That's pretty high praise from the words of Scripture. Zechariah was a member of the priestly division in Israel, and he went to the temple. He entered to keep the incense burning. You heard the account just a few moments ago, and let me give you a little bit of context. Those priestly divisions, somewhat like the members of the reserves in the armed forces, they were called upon to take turns taking care of the temple. One of the responsibilities of the priests during their deployment was to attend to the altar. Here at Bethany, attending to the altar means making sure there's oil in the candles, that the right color is out for the season, that communion is prepped when it is needed. And by the way, if you want to help with any of that, you can contact Cindy Morrison. We're always looking for some people to help with those things. But let me get back to the temple's care here. One of the jobs within the temple was to keep the bowl of incense burning. And it sat before the altar of the most holy place. And it was an honored job. And the priest who got to do that job was chosen by lot, which means no priest was guaranteed to ever do that job. So when you were chosen, it was the chance of a lifetime. And so is the job of Zechariah on this day. He is chosen to do this amazing job in the temple. And as he serves the Lord, the angel appears to him. So he goes into the temple, and the angel appears. And what do we know what happens when angels appear to people? He's afraid. I'll let Luke pick it up from here. You can look in your Bibles or in your worship folders. The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you will name him John. He will be your pride and joy, and many people will be glad that he was born. As far as the Lord is concerned, he will be a great man. He will never drink wine or any other liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." That's a pretty bold statement. "He will bring many people in Israel back to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord with the Spirit and the power that Elijah had. He will change parents' attitudes towards their children. He will change disobedient people so that they will accept the wisdom of those who have God's approval. In this way, he will prepare the people for their Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "What proof is there for this? I'm an old man, and my wife is beyond her childbearing years." The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. God sent me to you this good news, but because you didn't believe what I said, you will be unable to talk until the day this happens. Everything will come true at the right time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah. They were amazed at that he was staying in this temple so long. And when he did come out, he was unable to speak to them. So they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he motioned to them, but remained unable to talk. Now, there's a couple questions that start leaping off of the pages of Scripture as I encountered this. First, why was Zechariah struck mute? Now, searching through the pages of Scripture, we see that Abraham had received almost the exact same news. And he asked almost the exact same question. Sarah, too. Even after she hears the news, she actually laughs and scoffs at that news. Yet neither of them lost their voice. Just a little bit earlier in the same chapter, Mary receives the same message from the very same messenger, asks some of the same questions, and after she makes some inquiries, rather than hold her tongue, she is moved to share a song. So why is Zechariah silenced? Well, some would say that because unlike Mary and Abraham, Zechariah didn't believe. Now, that idea might take a little bit of a forced reading into the text rather than remaining quiet and let the scripture speak. So this morning, let's let the scripture speak. Those words of Zechariah's mouth, practically identical to those of Abraham and Sarah and Mary. How could we deduce that his faith was no different? Now, the second question that might jump off this text is, how bad is it when the preacher, the church worker, is detoured from divine dialogue? When the pastor is made mute, is that a malady or a miracle? Don't answer that question, please. I guess it kind of depends on if you're the one talking or the one listening, right? Now, that might be a tongue-in-cheek, but I think it's entirely possible that Zechariah's tongue was silenced and rendered still because of his position. Had he been a patriarch like Abraham, or a princess like Sarah, for that's what the name means, or a prospective bride like Mary, perhaps his story would end like theirs, but he is a priest. So on the one hand, I think this text might be speaking directly to those of us who speak for the Lord through our positions in the church. If anyone was to take an angel at his word, it should be the church worker, right? Peasant girl, question away. Pasture tenderer or patient wife of the same, sure, go ahead and puzzle, even chuckle. But the priest of God? If anyone should have been open to the proclamation, if anyone should have been open to the message that the angel was given, to be willing to accept heaven's promise, it should have been this priest, right? It's one thing for Abraham and Sarah to lack comprehension. But what about the guy who taught that same story in Saturday school week after week? Or pondered the prophets about the promise that was to pass? But perhaps there's a deeper question here, one that we might want to wrestle with this morning. Is the silence that struck Zechariah more for his personal correction or our communal instruction? Clearly, Zechariah was struck silent because he didn't immediately embrace or accept Gabriel's message. Listen to the words of the angel again. But because you didn't believe what I said, you will be unable to talk until the day this happens. It's a personal correction, a physical rebuke. And yet the judgment, you see, is filled with grace. Think about how the story plays out. He's not asked to pack his bags and to go home. He wasn't rendered unfit for service in the Lord's house, but he continued to minister in the temple day after day. Verse 23 is pretty clear about that. He was blessed to be in the house of the Lord until his time of service was completed, but he was there in silence, unable to speak a word. Now, though silenced by God, I don't think God was silent with Zechariah. He served. He finished out his deployment. He listened. He watched. He touched. He smelt that which was occurring in the temple of the Almighty every day. When his time of service was over, he goes home. His wife becomes pregnant. But his season of silence doesn't end. You know, oftentimes we speed through this story, that soon after he is there at the time where they bring his son to the temple, but we all know the gestation period. Becca mentioned it in her message too, 9 months, probably a little bit longer than 9 months. Zechariah was silent, unable to speak. And in his days of silence, his son grew in the womb, the one who would prepare the people for the ministry of the Messiah. And Zechariah, too, was being prepared. I wonder if in this season, Zechariah, the priest of God, would allow his mind to wander to the passages of the prophets to talk about the promised Savior. Did he dare listen to the word and let it wash over him without trying to get the last word in? Because, of course, he couldn't, as he was unable to speak. In those months of silence, was his heart prepared for the coming of the Redeemer of the world, his Redeemer and yours. At long last, his son was born, and as they bring him to the temple to give him his name, those gathered expected this child to be named after his father. But from that season of silence, Zechariah was able to hear God's word and then affirm with his own, as he scratched on a tablet, "His name is John." And then Luke records, "Suddenly Zechariah was able to speak and began to praise God, and all their neighbors were filled with awe. Throughout the mountain region of Judea, people talked about everything that had happened. Everyone who heard about it seriously thought over and asked, 'What does the future hold for this child?' It was clear that the Lord was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, 'Praise the Lord God of Israel.'" You know, we often think of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, the angels and the shepherds, the babe of Bethlehem, to be the characters of Advent. And I suppose rightly so. But a character of Advent, a time of recognizing the Lord's presence here and now, a character of Advent is silence. As we wonder with awe, as we watch, as we wait, as our hearts are filled with the expectation of what the Lord will accomplish when he returns, as we listen to the words that are spoken in song, we let them wash over us in silence, not trying to get that last word in. See, all too often we wonder and question before God has fully spoken. The character of Advent, I want you to ponder, is that of silence. Where wonder is exchanged for wonder, when God's voice is given clear as his people silence theirs. Character of Advent is silence. May we all find this silence this season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your word to wash over us. We pray that in this season of hopeful expectation, that you would open up our hearts and our minds as well as our ears to hear your word, spoken and sung, read and proclaimed, comes to us in many and varied ways. And Lord, maybe at times we ask you to hold our tongue so that you may speak to us, to speak words of forgiveness and love. If you let your word wash over us in silence this season. And when it is time, we'll raise our voices together and proclaim Gloria in excelsis Deo.